and then learn to use our keys, so to speak. Before we get into that, though, there is an outline for you to follow along with. A couple of announcements. Number one, we have our Easter egg hunt taking place April 15th. We did this the first couple of years, and it grew and grew and grew. And then I got to the point where I'm like, I think we just need to end this, you know, because it's getting to be too much, and I've got crazy ideas, and I don't want to wear people out. But then I ran into, and God bless Sharon Rath, Jill, and Kurt, because they are, I think they're crazier than I am, actually. And they just love dreams and all that. This year is how many eggs? 15,000 eggs. We're going to be having 15,000 eggs peppered throughout the lawn. And God bless you guys, all of you on the team. But I'm here to ask and say that we need your help. Did you hear 15,000 eggs? Okay. And we just need more people that can get involved. This Tuesday, 6:30, there's a meeting if you can be here at the church. If you cannot, find them. Find one of us and you can let us know. I want to be involved. But it's become one of those things that the community looks forward to. They just enjoy it, and I want to continue to support that. Anything we can do. Yes, it's a lot of work for about 10 seconds. You know, those kids are like little Hoover vacuums. They suck up all the eggs, and then they're like, bye, and they go home. How can you share the love of Jesus? Well, we've got specific ways we're going to do that, but we need you to be a part of that. Please get involved. If you've been sitting around saying, I want to find out how to get connected in the church, here's one way, and it's, you know, it's, you can do it and try it, and if you liked it, we're going to have more events. If you don't like it, we'll find you something else. But we need your help. Also, baptism, water baptism is next week. If you are here and you feel like the Lord has been calling you to water baptism, please obey. Please obey. We don't do water baptism because we're bored and, hey, let's put a tub in the church and see if we can. You know, this is scriptural. It says that when you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, salvation, then be baptized, the Word of God says. It's the bearing of the old and raising up of the new. If you feel like the Lord is leading you to the waters of baptism, go to the information center and you can fill out a form there. If you show up on Sunday and you're like, I know I need to be baptized, we're going to dunk you, okay? Because it's about obedience to Christ. It's about laying down that old and walking in the newness that Christ gives you. So there's a lot going on. Look at your bulletin, okay? There's an interactive movie Pastor Chris has next. He's going to have next door in a couple weeks. Interactive movie. Have you ever been to one of those? It's the kind where when you're watching the movie, they try to interact with you so as to, like, if you're watching a movie and there's a breeze that's blowing in the TV, they'll turn on some fans. There's balls that are flying. There's going to be some people out in the crowd chucking balls at you. Very soft ones, don't worry. And, you know, just different things. Interact, kind of give you the feel for it. Kids love it, you know. That's a great, great opportunity to invite them to that and let them be a part of that as well. Before we move on, too, I wanted to share with you about some news I received. Maybe you don't know who this is, but just some of you will. So how many of you know, Les Schofield has been part of our church, and Les Schofield passed away just a week ago, a few days ago. I got a call last week that had happened, and some people have said, well, we didn't know. Why didn't you let us know? I didn't know. I got a call from the funeral home letting me know that he went through a surgery procedure. Things did not go well, obviously. And he's home with Jesus, though. He's home with Jesus. So it's sad, yeah, on our part. But he's with Jesus. Don't lose sight of that. He's with Jesus. And so there's going to be a celebration of life on April 22nd at 11 a.m. I also did get word in between services. I'm going to go back to the old founders here, way back. I got word that Mike Winslow passed away. Yeah, and I don't know many more details except he had a surgery and he passed away. I don't have any more details now, but I'll find some out for you. But please be praying for Naomi and Sarah, and I believe the son's name was Jason, the family. We'll just be praying for them. As a matter of fact, I want us to pray for this family too. In our church family, we have a woman who has a six-year-old son who got hit by a car the other night. He jumped out in front of a car, and he's in Iowa City. Broken bones, not doing well, has a tube in his head. His name is Logan. Thank you. I got too many notes on my paper. His name's Logan. Young boy, just was playing and ran out in front of a car. Complete accident. But would you just join with me in prayer as we just lift him up before the Lord? Just asking that, Lord, your word declares that you are our healer. Lord, you are the great physician. And Lord, we just lift Logan before you and ask that in the name of Jesus, right where he lays, whatever it is he's going through right now, would you just reveal yourself to him in a mighty way? Lord God, his six-year-old mind might not be able to figure out everything that's going on, but you have placed within him a spirit. You have a plan and a purpose. And so, Lord, I pray that you would touch Logan right where he's at. Lord, I pray that you'd be there for his mom as I can only imagine the chaos her heart is going through right now. So, Lord, we just pray for every family member, every friend, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would embrace them. We ask for healing. We ask that you let there be a rapid recovery so that there can just be a great testimony of what you're going to do. So, Lord, we just commit it into your hands because we know that you do all things well. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Just keep Logan in your prayers, and I'll let you know if I know of anything else. So, we're going to continue on now in our series on Soul Man. I'm going to share with you. We're going to read 2 Corinthians that's in your outlines, but we're not going to get to that till the end of at the end of the message. I'm just kind of giving you a heads up. But what I want us to do is this. If you've not joined us, first of all, I hope you feel welcomed. I hope you enjoyed coming in. I hope you ran smack dab into the love of Jesus and that you felt welcomed here. Grab a cup of coffee, come on in, worship the Lord. But we gather together so that we can worship him. And then we can learn more about him. And we've been going through a series called Soul Man. I believe that if we would learn some things about our soul, we would be so much further down the road in our understanding. We've talked over the last few weeks. This is, I think I shared a few weeks ago, maybe last week, that this year we're just going to be talking about Soul Man. We're going to be talking about Sabbath. We're going to be talking about emotional health. That's where we're going to hang out this year. That's just where I felt the Lord. I kept asking him, Lord, where are we going? And he said, Soul Man, Sabbath, emotional health. And I said, okay, there's the first 3 weeks. What about the rest of the year? And he's like, no, that's it. And I said, you got to be kidding me. You gave me three things, and I got to like milk that out for a year? You know, now obviously God can do whatever he wants. It's all about him, but it's been amazing to see how we've just been learning and growing about who we are as a soul man. We are a spiritual being, right? We learned that the first week. We are a spiritual being. We have a soul and we live in a body. We said that the soul is made up of three things. Do you remember what they were? Mind, will, and emotions. And those are good. Sometimes we give them a bad rap. Yeah, you know, we got to bind our mind to Christ because our mind just really is horrible. No, our mind is good too. It's a gift that God gave us. Now, our emotions, you know, oh, we got to bind our emotions to the stabilizing power of Jesus Christ. Yes, do that. But it doesn't mean that your emotions are all bad. I love the fact that I have an emotion that feels one of love towards my wife. That's not a bad thing, is it? See, no, it isn't. It's good. It's healthy. But sometimes we just think that all emotions are bad. Let's just get rid of them. You know, I'd rather not have to deal with any emotions at all. How boring would that be? Robot, that's the word I've got for you. No emotions, you take the heart out of it, you've got just a mechanical being. And so we talked about what it meant then to have an unsurrendered soul, and we talked about what it meant to have a surrendered soul, and we've been talking about binding and loosing. We laid the groundwork last week and really just talked about kind of a few definitions. I think they'll throw them up. Binding, you know, the Greek word there was deo, I believe it was. It's prayers, binding prayers that stabilize you. They steady you, and they give you a spiritual seatbelt. How many of you need a spiritual seatbelt sometimes? How many of you need two seatbelts? How many of you need a NASCAR one, you know? Sometimes life has a way of just taking you on a journey you didn't know you were going to go on. It takes you down roads you didn't think you were going to drive in vehicles you never thought you'd get in, allowing people to drive you that you never thought you'd trust to drive you to that place. And so there's so many bumps and turns and you don't know what's going on. You need your spiritual seatbelt. You need to learn to bind your mind, your will, and your emotions to Jesus Christ. We talked about loosing and what that means. Not only are we to bind, but we're to loose, and it's the Greek word luo. Loosing prayers, they shatter stronghold thinking. They shatter stronghold thinking. They smash and slash deception and allow you to perform self-surgery on your own soul. In other words, you have the ability to look within your very own soul and correct what's there. Can you go get help from somebody? Absolutely. Can you receive counsel? Sure. Can you find wisdom in sitting in Sunday morning church? Yeah, absolutely. But you also have the ability. You have the keys to the kingdom. I have the keys to the kingdom to bind and to loose, which means I can let go of some things that I have grown up telling myself I can't let go of. You know what I mean? No, that's the way it's always been. That's the way my dad was. That's the way my dad's dad was. That's the way my dad's dad was. So that's the way I'm going to be. Phooey. You've got the keys to loose that process. But if you embrace that mindset and that thought pattern, you will stay stuck in that thought pattern, that process. But if you use your keys, you can bind your mind, will, and emotions to Jesus Christ, and you can loose that mindset that says, I'm going to be like my dad, my dad's dad, my dad's dad's dad. You can start being who you were created to be in Jesus Christ. Is my microphone on? You can start being who Christ has created you to be, a new creation. You see, this is something new. This is something, and I'm just going to put it out there, this is something your soul does not want to hear. Your soul doesn't want to hear this. That's why part of you is probably, you know, kind of looking around. Is there anything more interesting here? Because the thing is if your soul is put under submission to what your spirit is saying, then your soul's going to have to do what your spirit says, and it doesn't want to. It's like the 2-year-old, the 5-year-old, the 13-year-old. Sometimes us as adults, when people tell us something to do, we don't want to do it. But we must surrender and submit to authority if we're going to get where we want to go or where God wants us to be. So if you want to be who God's created you to be, you got to use your keys. If this morning I took these keys and I said, these keys right here, these keys, by the way, are my keys, so they're not going to do you much good, but they do me a great deal of good. But if I said these keys right here would get rid of all of your fears, I've got a key that'll get rid of all your fears. I've got a key that'll get rid of all your worries. This key will take away all your anxieties. This one, you'll never have to worry anymore about financial security. As a matter of fact, not only will these keys set you free and give you peace and joy and happiness, it will also keep you free from frustration, deception. You won't be angry anymore. I've got keys here that will allow you to lock doors that you can't seem to shut and unlock doors you've been trying to kick open for your whole life. I've got the keys. I'll give them to you. And God, let's say he chucks them at you, and you grab them, and you go, great, and then God walks away. What are you going to do? You're going to go, how do I use these? Where are the doors at? You know, if you don't know how to use the keys that God gives you, Matthew 16:19 says that he will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, don't mistake this. This does not mean God's given me the keys. Whatever I want, if I bind it here, God has to do it up there, right? If it's in accordance to his will, then yes. You know, I bind my mind to that brand new house. Well, if it's God's will for you to have that house, then he'll find a way for it to happen. I bind my mind to that new Ferrari. Good luck with that, by the way. I bind my, here's what a lot of times we try to use spiritualism to say, I bind all that I am. And then we try to use binding tools to say, I bind myself to that person, you know. You know what? You're trying to make God do something for you. He's not your spiritual hitman, okay? He's your savior. And he says, I will give you the keys, and whatever you pray down here that's correct in accordance with my will up here, then it'll come down and meet you right where you're at, and you'll have all you ever need. And if you loose down here, in accordance to what I'm saying you should let loose of and loose, then it will come down and meet you right where you're at. But we've got to learn to use these keys. If you don't use these keys, it's not going to do you any good, right? If you were given a brand new car, and somebody said, here is a brand new 2017, all the bells and whistles, bun warmers and coolers, sunroof, everything. I mean, this thing even cooked you dinner while you were driving down the road. But they never gave you any keys. You know what you have? A good-looking car going nowhere. That's it. Somebody gave you a house and said, here is your dream house. I mean, when you come in the front door, you go down a water slide for about, you know, half a mile, and you get the end of it, you get dried off perfectly, and you land in this room that has walls of TV. You know, it's your dream home. And they said, it's all yours, but they never gave you any keys. Then you've got an awesome house that you can't access. See, keys are very important. Have you ever lost your keys? These things are just keys. But when you lose them, they become, where's my life? I can't get in my house. I can't get in work. What am I going to do? That's the key to the safe. That's the key to the bank deposit box. And you start worrying and stressing and fearing and all that when you lose your keys. But yeah, how many times have we lost sleep over the fact that God has given us the keys to the kingdom, but we don't seem to know where they're at, or we don't know how to use them. And God says, I want to teach you this. So this is what we're going to do. When I talk to you about loosing, it says loosing is prayers that shatter strongholds. We had to talk about what strongholds are. Strongholds are that moment or that time when you and I erect a wrong thought process. We believe a lie, and then all of a sudden, because we believe a lie, we erect this wrong thought process that actually protects or defends the lie that we believe in order to be able to live with who we are. If you've decided, if you believed a lie, and you've decided that the lie must be true, here's what will happen. If you've bought into a lie, now I'm not saying here that anybody, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sometimes we buy into lies, and sometimes we feel stupid for buying into the lie that we bought into. I get that. I've done that too. But then what happens is when we feel stupid, or for whatever reason, if we feel dumb or we just missed it, then we sometimes we just believe the lie. And what we'll end up doing is if we decide the lie that we believed is true, our soul is, by the way, we talked about our soul is very powerful, right? Our soul wants what our soul wants. And so if our soul wants to believe the lie, then what we will do is we will erect the stronghold thinking that will defend your right to believe the lie that you chose to believe. You're thinking it's truth, or at least it's your truth at that moment. And you'll end up defending something that's a lie, and you'll erect this thought process that defends the lie, and the enemy has to do nothing. He just stands back and watches you self-destruct because you're defending something that is not truth. That's what stronghold thinking is. And so I think I ended with the fact that I said Satan knows this and he loves this, so he'll set us up time and time again. However, I said Satan is not the root of our problem. Now, I'm talking about he's not the root of our problem when it comes to this stronghold thinking, as much as it is our own faulty thinking. See, is the enemy our ultimate enemy? Yes. Yes, he is the deceiver. He's the great deceiver. He's a liar. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And God came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. But when we're talking about stronghold thinking and the stronghold thought process that we build up in our life, the enemy is not necessarily our root problem. He only uses what already exists in our toxic souls, in our bad memories, in our wrong choices that we've made. All he has to do is he goes and he looks for a pattern, and then he uses that. So write this down in your outline. Our root problem lies in the vulnerability of our damaged souls and their stronghold building. I'll repeat it one more time. Our root problem lies in the vulnerability of our damaged souls and their stronghold building. That's where the weakness is at. The root of our problem is it the enemy? Yes. But even more so at the root of that is our ability to become vulnerable and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to come in and we start making decisions and erecting strongholds or thought processes that say, we know it all. We defend the lie. An evangelist once said this. He said, we've all been used and abused in the past, but that's not the problem. The problem is, what are you going to do about it now? What are you going to do about it now? See, God's word says this, greater is he that's within you than what? Than he that's in the world. Remember when I didn't bring my little board up here to draw on, but every week I draw the same thing, right? Three circles. But when you ask Jesus into your heart, your spirit is 100% filled with the Spirit of God. And his word says, greater is he that's within you than anything else in this world. Now, I drew a picture of the soul because we are a spiritual being. We have a soul. We live in a body. It doesn't mean that necessarily the soul's bigger than the spirit. That's just the way that I drew it out so that we could see it. That's how we use it as a visual for teaching. But the Spirit of God that is in you, whatever size that is in comparison to whatever else you're facing in life, whatever that size is, greater is he that's within that area of your life than anything else that you're facing. Greater is he in your spirit than those tendencies that you struggle with to want to sin and that you actually enjoy the sin that you struggle with. Greater is he that's within you in your spirit that's fighting with those addictions and fighting with those struggles on the computer. Greater is he that's within you than anything else that's in this world. You see, the fact that we struggle does not surprise God. What he wants us to do is use our keys so we know how to bind our mind, our will, and our emotions to Jesus Christ and to start loosing some of those wrong thought patterns and processes. You see, a lot of times what happens is this. We get hung up, and I'm just going to use pornography for a moment, not because I know anything, but because I know it's all over the world, and it's a prolific problem. We get hung up on this, and the thought process is usually, I know it's wrong, but there's something inside of me that wants that. And I want that even though I know it's wrong, because it satisfies at least what I deem as a need inside of here, even though it's for a short period of time, and then afterwards I'm going to feel guilty. And when I feel guilty, I'm going to want to repent, and I'm going to want to make it right, and I'm going to be sorry until the next time that I feel I need that again. And it's a vicious cycle that we get in. And it's one of those cycles where the enemy just sits back and watches you self-destruct. And what he'll do is he'll keep feeding it if he needs to. He'll keep laying temptations down the track. Why? Because he wants to see you destroyed. But that can become a stronghold in our life. It's a horrible process. And even that little bit of God that you feel like is just a little in there, that is greater than anything you're facing with those challenges that you're looking at. God says, you've got everything you need to be victorious. You have everything you need so that you can come out on top being the winner. And you don't have to live with guilt and shame. He's not designed us to live with guilt and shame. Unmet needs, unresolved memories from yesterday, they become a source of our stronghold thinking, protecting, if you will, distorted ideas and thoughts and bad attitudes. And by the way, write this one down. This is something we need to know. Stronghold thinking can exist even in those who deeply love the Lord. Even in those who deeply love the Lord. You know, I kind of grew up and thought, well, they, you know, as a kid, my parents are hanging around these groups that have been around forever, so obviously they're like this with Jesus. They don't have problems, right? They don't have struggles. They don't have temptations. They don't have any of those things. But that's not true. We all face those trials. We all face those struggles. We all go through those difficult times. Stronghold thinking, too, can exist in those who deeply love the Lord, no matter if you've been walking with him for 2 years, 20 years, or two decades. It doesn't matter. There's no time frame. Stronghold thinking can be there, and you can embrace that. See, being... This is so, let me try to paint a picture, okay? Let me back up for just a moment. You ready? Let's take a moment and try to take a look at what stronghold thinking can look like. Because I can preach to you about stronghold thinking and what it is. And obviously we know we're supposed to make the right choices, but what does stronghold thinking look like? How does that play out in our world? Let me give you a few examples here. Let's say that you've been painfully deceived. Now, don't raise your hands, but, you know, if you've been here today and you've been deceived, it hurts, doesn't it? It cuts. And it leaves an open wound. And what can happen is simply this. When you've been painfully deceived by people that you trusted, it hurts even worse because you trusted them. But what it can do is if you've been painfully deceived, your soul can build a stronghold that will justify the belief that you must protect yourself from ever being deceived again. If you've gotten hurt, if you've been deceived by somebody, because it hurts inside, you'll say, I'm never going to let that happen again. So you erect a stronghold, and you let it be a thought process that says, I'm not going to let anybody get close. I'm not going to let anybody in, because the last time I did that, I got dumped on, and I'm not going to get dumped on again. I'm not going to stand for it, so therefore you keep people at arm's length. And you even keep God at arm's length. That's the dangerous side. You see, that's a stronghold thinking. I'm not letting them in because if I let them in, then they'll just hurt me. That is a lie. Well, will people hurt me? I've been hurt before. Okay, there's some truth to it, but you're believing a lie that is ready to eliminate everything and everyone else that deals with a relationship. It's a stronghold thinking process. If you're afraid that the Word of God won't work for you, guess what you'll do? You'll build up a stronghold that says, I don't think this thing works. I don't think it's going to work, so I don't ever see it working. Guess what? It's not going to work for you because you start to build a stronghold that says right from the very get-go, the Word of God is not powerful and effective in my life. It's not going to work. Being rejected can cause you to build a stronghold in your life. Nobody likes rejection, do they? I mean, if I put up a sign-up sheet and said, Rejection 101, 7 p.m. tonight, nobody's going to sign up for that. Why? Because we don't need a class on that. We can just go home or go to work. And I hope it's not this one, but maybe even go to church. And you say, see, I feel these things where I've experienced some deep rejection in my life, and it cuts you, and it hurts. And what happened is because of the wound that you feel in your soul, because of that rejection, you'll build a stronghold to develop a self-protected false belief that you really are independent of everyone and everything else. You don't need anybody, right? And that's what will happen. You'll get rejected and you'll be hurt. And because the rejection hurt, you say, I don't need them. I don't need you. I don't need you. And I don't even need you. And you'll be independent of everyone else, trying to put on this facade that everything's okay and everything's all good. But ultimately what you're doing is it causes your soul to refuse to become vulnerable to even the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, a stronghold will keep you from that. If you have a lot of unmet needs, your soul may protect this outer shell, put on this looking like everything's good and there's a strength and everything's good on the outside, but on the inside, everything's fragile, falling apart. And you buy a lie that my needs are fine. And you keep trying to convince yourself that lie, you'll start to defend it. Anyone that tries to help you, you might try to keep them at bay. If you feel like you cannot forgive somebody, you'll put up a stronghold. Are we doing okay? Everyone take a deep breath with me. Okay, let it out. Because I don't think some of us have been breathing since I started the description. It's okay. If you feel, though, like you can never forgive, that's a big deal. The Word of God says that we must forgive. We must forgive. Not just to let the other person off the hook, but to let yourself off the hook, right? If you don't forgive others, how can God Himself forgive you, the Bible says. So it's imperative that we learn to forgive. So what happens when somebody does something that hurts us so bad that we can't seem to forgive? Not only that, but what they did was so bad. And I mean, it was so, so bad that you don't even expect God to forgive them. So if God's not going to forgive them, then why should I have to? Right? You see, if we don't learn to forgive, what happens is our soul will build up a stronghold to rationalize hard feelings and anger that we have toward people. We'll start saying, I deserve to have these feelings. It's my right. I earn these stripes. I can treat you like this as much and as long and as hard as I want because of what you put me through. That's a stronghold thinking. Because that's not truth. That's a lie. And you will defend that lie because you want to believe that lie because you've been hurt in your soul. And that's why we have to use our binding and loosing keys. It's the only thing that's going to bring that healing in our hearts and in our lives. And when you truly believe that even God Himself won't forgive, so therefore, why should I ever have to? That sounds silly hearing me maybe say it, but sometimes we think that people have been so mean, so vindictive, that I don't even see how God's ever going to forgive them. Well, first of all, that's between them and God. But if you believe that, what you're doing is you're trying to pull God into your camp of thinking. And you're trying to get Him to embrace the same victim mentality you're starting to embrace. You see? Then we become professional victims. We become drama kings and queens, and we start saying, well, it's not fair. I've got a right. You know, betrayal is another thing that hurts real bad, doesn't it? If you've been betrayed, you know it. And when you know it, you know how much it hurts. Whatever end of the spectrum you've been on in that it hurts both of you. And betrayal can cause a wounded soul to build up a stronghold. Because what you'll do is you'll keep anyone from getting close. And when you work hard to protect yourself, all your soul knows is that nobody can hurt me if I'm taking care of me, and I'm not going to ever let them hurt me like that again. And you make a wrong agreement. You build up a stronghold that will keep God at arm's length, keep friends at arm's length. Here's another way. If you had a childhood that was filled with chaos, you know what I'm talking about. You grew up in a home where you're like, My home was chaotic. I mean, one day my parents love me, the next day they're hitting me. The next day they're not around, the next day they're telling me they love me again. The next day they're grounding me, the next day they're buying me gifts. I can't tell when they're loving me and when they don't. My world is chaotic. It's flipped upside down. And if you think that young kids are too old to figure this stuff out, you're going to be sorely mistaken. They figure it out quicker than we do. The truth is we are adults who had already figured it out when we were kids. And that's one of the reasons we need our binding and loosing keys, because we made decisions way back here that are affecting way over here. We say, Lord, I just want to see more of you in my life. I want to see fruit. I want joy, peace, happiness. He says, go back here and forgive. Lord, can't we find another way? And he says, no. See, God's never going to take you back to a place because he wants to dig up that pain once again and remind you how much you hurt. It's because he wants to heal you so that from this point on now there can be health that flows. Well, Pastor, I missed out on all those years. Well, okay, don't miss out on any more. Let the Lord heal your heart right where you're at. Maybe you've had a father, a mother, a loved one, a husband, a wife that have passed on and they're now with Jesus. But yet you're left here feeling angry. And it's hurting your heart because you don't know what to do with that emotion. All you know is they left. The reality is they may have left, but God has not. And you need him to give you truth. Otherwise, you're left with the lie that you're going to embrace. Don't build those strongholds up. Now, if you've had that childhood with chaos, what will happen is this. You'll see chaos happening all around you, left and right. And you'll grow up and you'll say, I will never live life like that again. I will never put myself at the mercy of others. Because that's what you felt like as a kid, right? And think about it. When you're a little kid, who's supposed to take care of you? Mom and dad, right? They're supposed to watch. They're supposed to feed you, clothe you, house you. But when they start doing screwy things, and somebody's got an alcohol problem, or somebody's just abusive, or they're just never around, or you're always with grandma and grandpa because mom and dad don't really want to spend time, you grow up starting to believe lies because there's no one there speaking truth. And you'll build a stronghold that says, well, mom and dad don't love me, and I'm tired of being at the mercy of others, so I am not going to I'm not going to build relationships, and I'm not, the truth is I'm unlovable, and I'm not going to let myself be at the mercy of others, and that's a stronghold thinking. Be very careful. You start building that up in your life. We doing okay? Okay, on the count of three, lift your feet. Ready? One, two, three. There you go. Because I might step on your toes with this one. I stepped on my own, so I tripped over my own. Maybe that's it, but if you've always felt deprived or unappreciated, your soul may rationalize your right to indulge yourself inappropriately to compensate for your unmet needs. Did you get that? Let it sink in for a moment. I'm going to say it again. Because I listened to it and I heard him like, yeah, whatever, move on. And it's like the Holy Spirit went, no, no. This was half your childhood. Jim, look at that. Now, let me clarify, too, because my mom and dad attend this service. I grew up in a great home. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad, were they perfect? No, but they did the best they could, just like I'm doing and like you do. But I grew up feeling like I was unappreciated at times. I grew up feeling like I had unmet needs. Is that true? Probably not as much as I dramatized it to be. But the truth is if I feel like I have unmet needs, and my mom or my sister or my dad sat down and said, no, you don't. They could tell me all day long how much I'm loved, but if I believe it to be truth, then it's truth to me, right? And so I'm going to act on what truth I believe, not on what truth anyone else believes. So if I grew up feeling unappreciated or I grew up feeling like I had unmet needs, what happens is if I felt like those needs were not met, then I find ways to justify or to engage inappropriately to compensate for my unmet needs that I feel like I had. Well, what does that mean, inappropriate? It means the same things you're thinking about and that you probably did. You started saying, yeah, you know what? You know, I know this isn't right to do, but, you know, I have such a hard life. I deserve this. I can smoke this, or I can drink this, or I can buy this, or I can kiss them, or I can take them home, or I can, and you find ways to justify why you can still love the Lord, but it's okay for you to get away with this sin, because after all, I wasn't taken care of over here. And you think somehow that God's going to be okay with that. My parents wouldn't have been okay with that. I'm not okay with that with my kids. Why do we think God's going to be okay with it? You see, the truth is if there's unmet needs that we have here, you got one need meter. And it's not your husband or your wife or your parents. It's Jesus Christ. There's only one that can do that. You know, some of the reasons we struggle in the here and now with what we have is because we're wrestling with these unmet needs where we feel unappreciated, unloved, unnecessary. I'm a mistake. I don't understand why I was even born. Well, let Jesus address that and watch how you'll have healing come back into your life. But don't ever think for one moment that you pulled one over on God. If you say, I'm unloved and I'm unappreciated, therefore I can go ahead and drink this or smoke that. I'm going to compensate over here in an inappropriate way because I didn't get what I felt like I needed over here. And it should all come out in the wash and God will be good with this. Here's the funny thing. We believe that. We believe that to be truth. It's a lie, but we believe it and we will erect. I erected a stronghold thinking that said, yeah, that's true. That's right. It's my prerogative. I can do what I want to do. I plastered it all over the windshield of my car. And I started doing whatever I wanted to do. The only problem is it's one of those things where I got what I wanted, but I didn't want what I got. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you guys have never been there, but. And then there was those moments, too, where it wasn't even necessarily about not getting what I wanted. It was just, I was justifying what I was doing as if God would be okay with it. I can go ahead and go out and drink, and I can drink in excess, and I can go out and I can smoke this and I can smoke that and I can hang out with whoever I want to and I can have this kind of an attitude. You know, those are three common ones. But then you start, let's get a little bit more home. You can start thinking in inappropriate ways about ladies, guys. You can start thinking, you didn't say anything, you didn't act on it, you didn't do anything, but you're dwelling on it. And when you do that, that's not honoring God or anyone else. But somehow we feel like, well, because I'm not able to have intimacy at home, then it's okay for me to think about this. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's compensating in an irresponsible way. Ladies, you can do the same thing. Hey, things aren't happening at home, so you can be over here fantasizing about what that husband could be like. That's not appropriate. That's building strongholds that say, I want to protect this lie and this thought process so I can keep it right where it's at. Because the truth is that if whoever it was meeting that need, you got to let Jesus be the source of that. Amen? You got to let him be the source of meeting your needs. There's going to be times where we will defend the stronghold and we will rationalize our right to indulge inappropriately to compensate for unmet needs. Somehow we feel that we have the right to chemically alter what's going on in our lives because we deserve it or we have the right. See, if you've grown up with a great deal of fear, your soul can build up a stronghold around anxiety, worry. And you wonder why that seems to be blossoming in your life. It seems like everywhere I go is just a worry, worry, worry. You know, well, if you've grown up believing that fear is the thing that is the rudder that steers your ship, then you get the fruit of that. You see, God, there's some reasons our soul, these are some of the reasons our soul builds strongholds. It's to defend, and it always is to defend a lie. It's to protect a lie. And the enemy loves that. God will not generally, forcibly, take what you do not want to surrender, okay? If you said, God, I want you to take away this temptation, and I Lord, take away this addiction, can God do it? Well, yeah, he can. But God generally will not forcibly take it away if you're not willing to surrender it. It's kind of like if I have my notes, and I said, Dad, I want you to take my notes. Take my notes. Take them. Take them. Come on. Take them. Take them. And I'll give him back because I need him. You see, I'm asking him to take something I'm unwilling to let go of. Come on. And I ask my father, take him. Take him. I don't want this anymore. It keeps hurting me. Take him. And he's going, let go. Let go of the stupid paper. But why do we hold on to the paper? You wrinkled my notes, by the way. Just kidding, actually, I did it, but. Many times we're going before the Lord and we're saying, Lord, take this addiction to pornography from me. Please, please take it, Lord. And he says, yes, surrender it to me. No, I can't do that. Just take it. Pry it out of my fingers. Beat me over the head. Knock me out if you have to. You know, you're saying all the right things and your heart's in the right place. But he's saying, surrender. Let go. Take away this gossip from me. I don't want to be the one that's always feeding this. And I don't want to be the one that people look at and they're always laughing about because I'm the one that can't, I'm always running my mouth. Lord, I give that to you. And he says, okay, give it to me. But your hand's still closed. And he says, surrender. Open up your hand. let it go. In other words, he will not forcibly take it if you're not willing to surrender it. So can God do all the things that he needs to get you to that place? Can he deliver you? Absolutely. But you've got to work in cooperation with him. You've got to surrender. Some people believe this. They believe, Pastor, if God wants to take it from me, he'll just take it. If God doesn't want me smoking, he'll just take away my desire to smoke. If God doesn't want me cheating, he'll take away my desire to cheat, or he'll start giving me what it is I want over here, so I'll stop cheating. You know what? That's a wrong thought process. We've been learning a lot of Greek words. I hope you don't mind learning these Greek words because they help me learn. But let me introduce you to another one. Here it is. It's called skoupedia. Say it. Skoupedia. You know what that means? Garbage, hogwash, phooey, rubbish. If you believe that God is going to come and just take it away because you're unwilling to surrender, you're getting lazy and don't want to do your part of the deal, skoupedia, yeah, phooey, rubbish, it's not going to happen. You have to do your part. We have a responsibility that we play out in this. So the next time, you know, try that out on somebody that didn't come to church today, you know, and they're going to be like, you know, hey, you need to move that. You can go, skoupedia. They'll be like, what'd you say? Nothing. Surrender it to God. Surrender it to God. Surrendering is a choice. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about obedience. We talked about surrendering being a choice. This is where it comes into play once again with binding and loosing. But Pastor, how do I do this? You're binding and loosing keys. Get out your keys. You're going through difficult times. I'm tempted. I've got this thought process. Maybe one of these things I mentioned, when I mentioned it, you're kind of like, just kind of, let's get through this, because it started triggering something inside of you. If it did that, the only reason that's happening is it's the Holy Spirit saying, you, that's you. Will you surrender? How do I do that? Get out your keys. You know, I handed out a few weeks ago the prayer about binding and loosing. If you don't have one and you want one, they're at the Information Center, or we'll get them for you. I believe it's on our Facebook page too, but I hope you don't mind praying, reading prayer sometimes. Sometimes I have to do that. It's kind of like when I started riding a bike, you know what I put on it? Training wheel. I didn't put it on there, but my parents did. Training wheels. Why did they put them on there? So I didn't wipe out and want to give up. So I take that prayer, and those are my training wheels. Lord, I bind my mind to the mind of Christ. I bind my will to the will of the Father. I bind my emotions to the stabilizing power of the Holy Spirit. I loose that. What do you need to loose? That's the question. I loose that wrong thinking. That's why I need to watch that. I loose that emotional thrill that says it's all about, I have to drink that in order to feel loved. You know, whatever it is. You start loosing those wrong thinkings. You are using your keys. You are using your keys. And you start doing some kingdom business when that happens. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It's in your outlines at the very top. It says, though we live in the world, let's read it together, okay? We'll start from the beginning here. You ready? Go. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It says right there, we are in a war. And the war that we are in is not our war. Now, we are a part of it. The enemy wants to take us out. You know why? Because we're the bride of Christ. If you want to hurt anybody, you don't even have to do it directly. What hurts them more is go after their family, right? Yeah, you want to, my dad always would, I remember hearing him say that, you know, if you want to hurt me, go after my kids. Now I understand it, because it hurts more when you go after my kids. That's exactly what the enemy's doing. This is not our war, folks. This is between God, and there's an enemy, and the enemy's saying, listen, you love them so much, I'm going to take them out, and I'm going to screw with them because it's going to make you mad. And that's why we struggle. That's why we have all these emotional ups and downs. That's why the temptations we face. The battle is real. We're going through a war, but as long as you look at this and address this spiritual battle with your physical weapons of war, you're not going to do anything. It's going to be like throwing wiffle balls at a giant, okay? He's going to laugh. But when you start addressing the spiritual battle in a spiritual realm, then it will affect your physical realm and you will move mountains. How did you get that to happen? I used my keys. Let me back on. I'll just share a personal one. I don't know what it was. I was thinking of something or struggling with something or somehow embraced. It wasn't a proper mindset. I was believing a lie. That's what it was. Let's just say it was one of those moments where I felt like I was stupid and I couldn't do anything right and everyone else could do it better. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? And I started to believe this lie. Yeah, I don't know what you're doing in ministry. You know, you're just the least of the least. And it's like the Lord went, get your keys out. And I heard him say, you know what I'm talking about when the Lord speaks to you? Usually you try to talk it away. Oh, that wasn't God, because I'm at work now. I'm going to get my keys out. Got my keys. What do you want? I knew what he meant. He said, get your keys out. I'm like, oh, but God, I got to work on my master's program. I'm working on my sermon. I got this meeting in a few minutes. I'm busy. And he goes, get your keys out. And I thought, okay. And I shut my door. I put up my little do not disturb. And I walked around and I'm like, what now? I felt stupid, folks. I'm just being real with you so that you can know how to do this. Because this is where the rubber meets the road. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to use it. And he said, get your keys, not these keys. I have my prayer. And I'm like, I don't know what to pray. I got to bind something and I got to lose something, but I don't know what it is. You know, and I've got to say the right words, right? I've got to do it perfectly. Otherwise, I'm not going to pass the test and my head's going to explode or something, you know? That's not the kind of God we serve. He said, just use your keys. And I just prayed and I got my paper and I said, Lord, I bought into a lie. So Lord, I bind my mind, I'm not really reading this, but I bind my mind to the mind of Christ. I bind my will to the stabilizing power of Jesus Christ. I bind my emotions to the balancing power of the Holy Spirit. The only reason I said that is because I was not balanced. Balance sounded like a good word, so I picked it. Balanced to the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I loose those wrong thoughts of, and right there I was like, I don't know what to do. And then he just started filling my mouth. I prayed the prayer. I loose the wrong thought processes in my life. Lord, I loose the wrong thinking that says I'm stupid. Lord, I loose the wrong thinking that says I will never make it. Lord, and all of a sudden I put my paper aside and I started loosing those wrong, and I just started to flow a little bit more. It's okay to take those baby steps. That's what it looks like to use your keys. Are you going to do it perfectly? No. Sometimes I'd be like, I bind my mind to the mind and good stuff that Jesus has in the Bible. You know, I'd be like, oh, that was horrible. Yeah. Sometimes I trip over my tongue too. But it's okay. It's kind of like when you were watching your kids learn to walk or learn to talk. You know, one of the things I love, my son's going to hate this, but he always would mix up his words and his thumb. Not his thumb, but his thumb. And he'd always mix up his T's and his P's. So we didn't have toothpaste in our house. We had toothpaste. And we didn't have toothpicks, we had toothticks. But you know what? That was the cutest thing I've ever seen. Do you know how many times I said, hey, Seth, what's this called? Poothtick. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Say it again. Poothtick. Okay, go brush your teeth. And be sure to use toothpaste. I'd be like, I was a father that was relishing in the fact that my kid was learning to speak. Did he say it perfectly? No, but it was the cutest thing I ever saw. Do you know that's exactly what Jesus does when we're learning to pray? You take out your keys and you start saying, I bind my mind to the mind of Christ. And he's like, oh, here we go. He's talking. Listen to him. He's talking. And I bind my will to the will of his son, Jesus Christ. And I bind my emotions to like the good stuff in the Bible. And he'd be like, oh, isn't that cute? That's my son. That's my daughter. He doesn't get discouraged or tripped up by your words. Why should you? Use your keys. Are you going through difficult times and facing these, always hitting a brick wall? Do you have this stronghold thinking that you've been embracing? Why don't you use your keys and let it go? This is what it means to walk in the Spirit. You're walking in unity with Jesus Christ, surrendering to him. He's not going to take it if you're not going to let it go. But if you're ready to let it go, he's ready to take it. There's two weapons that the enemy uses. It's his greatest weapons, and you can write them down in your outline. It's deception and fear. Deception and fear. He uses both of them to take advantage of unmet needs, unresolved issues, unhealed hurts, bad memories, emotional pain, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and so much more. Now, he cannot read your mind, okay? Did you know that? He cannot He cannot read your mind. Well, how does he know that I always have a hard time with this temptation? Because he looks at your track record. And he says, he's done it 5 million times. Chances are, he'll do it 5,000,001. And so then he starts setting up those traps in front of you. You see, he cannot read your mind, but what he can do is he can look at your game tape. Remember last week I said if a team is playing another team before they actually hit the field, they will be in the locker room watching the game film, looking for the weaknesses. And when they see those weaknesses, they play into, lean into those weaknesses because they want to score. They want to win, and they want the other team to lose. It's exactly what the enemy does. He watches your game tape. He sees where your weaknesses are, whether it be prone to gossip, whether it be prone to anger, whether it's bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever it is. And then he plays and he leans into that and he sets up these traps all along the way. All along the time, you just thought life was miserable. You know, this is a hard life. No, the enemy is waging war against you. You need to make sure you understand that you're in a battle and start using your keys. Then he pressures you into exposing you to all these pressures, these hard times. You know what it's like when somebody pushes your buttons? You know what I'm talking about? Who is it that can push your buttons the best? It's usually the people that are the closest to you, right? If somebody wants to push my buttons, the one that knows how to do it the best is sitting right over there. You know why? Because we have relationship. She knows all my strengths. She knows my weaknesses. She knows where I'm vulnerable. She knows where I need help. Sometimes she knows what I'm thinking before I even know what I'm thinking. And I'm better because of it. We celebrated 26 years of being married. Where has the time gone? And in 26 years, there's something that I've learned, and that's in the midst of relationship, you start learning from one another and helping one another. Do you know that in relationship with Jesus Christ, he wants to set you free, but the enemy, what he wants to do is push your buttons. He wants to push your buttons. He cannot read your mind, but he will see where you've been. He'll lay those traps up there, and then he'll push the buttons for you to give into those temptations. And then when you do, he'll push the buttons of guilt and shame. The thing that he tempted you with, he'll now condemn you with. And he'll start taunting you with, you are such a loser. You did it again. Oh, you're never going to amount to anything. And eventually you get back up, and then he tempts you and says, hey, you want to do it again? Want to do it again? You're like, no, I'm not going to do that. But then eventually you do. Guilt and shame. It's a vicious cycle. We've got to use, how do we get off that cycle? Use your binding and loosing keys. I'll be done in just a couple minutes, okay? Use your binding and loosing keys and fight back. We must fight back. The enemy does keep exquisite records on what we struggle with, but know this, there's nothing he can do that God can't counteract. There's nothing that he can do that it can ever take us away or take the love that God has for you and for me. So what are we to do? We need to start binding and loosing. Loosing all this works that he's trying to bring against you. Loose all the stronghold thinking. Loose all the erroneous logic, the faulty reasoning, the invalid arguments, the rationalizations, the justifications. Loose all of that and let it go. But remember, let it go means somebody takes it. You surrender. God's not going to make it happen, but he's inviting you into that process to give you the keys of the kingdom. He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and that which you bind here will be done in heaven. That which you loose here will be loosed in heaven for you and for me. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray today that, Lord, for those of us that have been struggling with even understanding what it means to bind something and to loose something, that, Lord, we can say that we've learned just a little bit more now, that we understand that you have not just said, hey, here's a good suggestion, but you said, this is the keys to the kingdom of God. Father, I pray today that right where we're at, maybe today in this scenario, as we talked about what strongholds can look like, for some of us, maybe we felt uncomfortable. Because some of us grew up in that chaotic house. One day you're loved, the next one you're hated. As a result of it, we've made some bad decisions. Not ones that we intended to be seen as unloving towards you, God, but we've made decisions that said, I'm never going to put myself in that place again. Maybe we've grown up in areas where we've experienced betrayal and deception and bitterness and unforgiveness, and maybe you're here today and somebody's cheated on you, stole from you. whatever it is, whatever it is, the pain that you feel and the hurt that is setting there, God wants to heal. But you have to be willing to let it go. Are you here today and you've not even taken that first step of salvation, because that's where it begins, and you're here today and you need to take that step? If that's you, would you just raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you? I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, but today you can make a decision to walk with Him, no longer believing the lie. I agree with you. God sees your hand and He sees your heart. There's been a lie that's been infused into your very spirit that says, you're not loved, you're not wanted, you're not appreciated. As a matter of fact, whatever it is you do get from here on out, it's only a matter of time. You're a ticking bomb. But that's a lie from the enemy. And you need to know that that's something that you need to use your keys. And you need to bind your mind, your will, and your emotions to the very Spirit of God. Because when God looks at you, He says, you are my daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. I have a plan for you, and though it may not have gone according to what you would have said it would be, I have a plan from this point forward and forevermore. But the way you're going to see Him reveal it is you've got to let it go, whatever it is. You've got to let Him lead you through that, and you've got to take out those keys. And when you do, you'll see yourself being delivered like you've never done before. Do you know the hearts here today? I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. A greater is He, we said earlier, is He that's within you than anything else in this world. Don't let that be a verse that just you've heard in church. Let it become your song. Let it be an understanding that you are given the victory. You're the head, not the tail. And He wants you to understand anything, if anything, He's well pleased, so well pleased with you. Whatever it is you're facing, there's been lies that you've agreed to and you didn't even know it. There's going to be something that He's going to show you too. If you will seek Him, He will reveal to you. But when He does reveal it to you, He's asking you right now, will you give it to Him? Will you bind your mind, will, and emotions to His Spirit and let Him heal your heart? As you do that, watch how He'll begin to bring that joy once again. So you know the hearts here today. Wait for just a moment. All right. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. You know, wherever it is down deep in your spirit, wherever those wounds are, and no matter how hard you've worked at trying to make them look good, God has always seen them. When you come before the presence of an almighty God who loves you with a love like no other, He does it because He wants to heal your heart. Those wounds, He heals now in the name of Jesus. But He's asking you to do your part. Would you use your keys? Would you continually bind your mind, your will, and emotions to Him and watch how as you loose the wrong thought processes that all of a sudden He can take something that seemed old and regenerate it into something brand new? That which you look at and think of something is passed away, forgotten, never going to be used again. God has ways of bringing new life, but what He wants to do more than anything is cultivate His heart in you. But He can't do that unless you're willing to surrender. As you surrender, God is going to bring that newness of life. So you know the hearts here. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. Receive that today. A great love He gives to you. He pours forth into your very heart right now. You don't have to figure it out, explain it, just experience it. Let Him just bathe you in that love as He pours forth His Spirit on you. Any other hearts today? Okay. Well, Father, I thank You for Your Spirit. I pray today for each and every one of us that's here. Lord, what's been shared, may it not be a heavy, but may it actually be something that frees us. So we learn that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We have been created with a purpose, and now we get to experience the fullness of that. So Lord, we thank You for that. And we ask this in Your name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning?